Hi, and welcome to the Sexy Aging Podcast. I'm Tracy Monoknuku, a midlifer, menopausal, and at the juncture of life where I decided that I was going to kick over my bucket list, starting with this podcast. Since then, I've written a book, My Menopause Memoir, set up a website to support women through the menopause transition, developed an online course for menopause, and thrown my passion for fitness and wellness into an app specifically made for women in midlife and menopause. I also love delivering workshops virtually and in person to support women in the workplace when it comes to, you guessed it, menopause. If you're interested in finding out more about these projects, I've added the links in my bio, and I offer podcast listener discounts in the show notes just for you, so check those out. As an indie podcaster, that means that no one is paying me to produce this podcast. I want to bring you relevant, interesting, and engaging guests. By following and sharing the podcast with others, I can continue to make the podcast episodes and give you more of what you want to listen to. So let's crack on with today's interview. Lizelle Klaber and I have never met each other in person, but there have been so many similarities to our journeys that span decades in the fitness industry. For Lizelle, a career in TV and film as a producer and then skipping over to fitness with a pivot to online fitness seems like a beautiful marriage of her passions. In this episode, we talk about change and how to navigate it. We talk about leadership and the importance of always learning and growing. As I always say, you're never too old and it's never too late, and I have a soul sister with that mantra in Lizelle. For more insights into the incredible Lizelle, I've added her contact details in the show notes. And on the Sexy Aging Podcast today, I am super excited to welcome a good friend. Well, we've met through a mutual group of women in the fitness industry called WEFA, Women in Fitness Association. Lizelle, I can't say your last name though.
Klaber.
Klaber, yeah. I don't want to stuff it up, so it's better if you do that for me. So Lizelle and I are part of the Women in Fitness Association, and we've been on multiple Zoom calls, meetings, breakouts, leadership things, and our name and our faces are always there kind of alongside each other, which is super cool. Now, when I started the podcast, one of the big things I wanted to do was to inspire women. When you get to a certain age, there's a bit of a fear factor around perhaps changing direction or leaving a long-standing career. And both Lizelle and I were at a juncture when we went in and did a program called LEAD. Yeah, we were actually at the pilot stage of LEAD, which was just testing out the tools and giving some feedback and seeing if they worked for us. And it obviously kind of worked because we both took that leap of faith and jumped into something completely different. So I'm going to stop talking now and just invite you to share your journey. And you haven't always been in fitness, and that's really cool too. So let's hear about that.
Yeah, okay. So my journey is an interesting one because I started off my career in television and theatre and radio, and then a little bit later in film, and probably spent from when I was 18 until when I was close to 30 in all of those industries, running my own film companies, but predominantly producing ultimately. And there was a point where I had children, and I had a couple of pivotal moments where I asked myself whether I was giving enough back to the world in a quality way. And I think when you're raising a small person into the world, you're a little bit more conscious of what that world is like and what contribution you're making to that world. So there were a couple of moments, one when I was sitting in a lawyer's office like at 11 o'clock at night and my baby was at home, and I'm like, what am I actually doing? Like, is this where I want to be spending my time? And another moment was when I was walking through a video store and realizing that what I was doing was not really changing anyone's life, with no offense to those that make film, television and movies. I wasn't making enough of a significant contribution to feel comfortable with anymore. And I wanted to be doing more than that. So when you're in a lot of industries, I think this would be true, you're sort of on this treadmill of, you know, what's your next film? What's your next project? Who's in it? You're juggling a whole bunch of projects all at various stages of pre-production, production, post-production, and you don't really have time to stop and take stock.
Yeah.
And my husband and I had made a pact, because he's a film editor and I was a film producer. We'd made a pact that we'd never be apart for more than 3 weeks, because we'd watched everyone have a nanny and a divorce, and I didn't want to be that statistic. So he was off to do a Gillian Armstrong film in France and London for quite some months. And I went, right, well, the kids and I are coming with you. So I stepped away from what I was doing for a period of time. And surprisingly, the world kept turning. And films kept being made, and I wasn't essential, and it was okay. And it was actually probably the best thing that could have happened to me, because I started taking my children to Gymboroo and children's fitness classes overseas while we were living there. And I'm like, okay, this is what I want to do. And so I started in children's fitness. I moved into adult fitness. I moved into the management side of the business. And then with Flow just recently, I've come full circle, because Flow is 3 online studios that broadcast live quality HIIT Pilates and yoga classes to the world. So it's a blend of my film and performance skills along with all of my fitness skills. So it really is the perfect job for me. They called me the unicorn when they found me. They're like, it's a rare person you could find that has those 2 bags of skills, but it's absolutely the perfect role for me.
Yeah, I absolutely love what you're doing now. And if anyone's not aware, so Flow is an online community. As you've mentioned, Pilates, HIIT, yoga. I've done a few classes. So what's really unique about what you guys do, which I haven't seen it yet. I think there probably is something out there now, maybe Beachbody using similar tools to what you guys use, but it's live feedback as the participant is joining the workout. So just for clarity, most people, when they do an online class or an app workout, you're following along, and you know that the teacher can't see you. But in this case, the teacher can see you through your camera, through the iPad, and give you real-time feedback, which is absolutely phenomenal. So
one of the key things with that too, Trace, is that the big factor for us is we know that engagement and connection with the people that are training with us will add to their success. So we've now heard a lot of feedback from the members that we have saying, you've absolutely ruined us for anything that's recorded, because we can't go back to that now. Now that we've experienced a live workout, it's like you're in our lounge room with us. No one else can see you except for the trainers. You don't have to worry about anyone else looking at you, but you've got real-time communication and feedback. You can connect and engage and build a really strong friendship and relationship with people, between you and the person, between you and the group of people, and between the group of people and all of the Flow trainers. So it's really exceptional in that way. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to do as a trainer, but also I think as a member, once you've discovered the difference between live and recorded, there just is no going back.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty spectacular, actually. And so you've been going at this for a few years now,
We're into our second year now.
Just
into our second year. So still fairly much in our startup phase. And aiming to, be able to reach out more globally in time, but just really finding our footprint in the market, finding out who our market is. The world has been in an extremely interesting place. And a lot of things have gone on along with, I don't know what the statistics are currently, but I would imagine the percentage of people regularly exercising is substantially lower than it used to be. I think there's a lot of complacency. There's a lot of people that haven't gone back to in-person fitness. There's a lot of people that have got very sick of recorded fitness. And people are seeking more balance in their life. They don't want to push themselves in the way that they used to pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
And for us, that's one of the key points of Flow, is we want to break down all those barriers that stop people exercising. The fact that you have to travel somewhere, the fact that you don't feel part of the gym scene, the fact that you might not feel strong enough, flexible enough, fit enough. You don't have to be any of those things. Flow is particularly permissive in that we say, show up as you are, use what you have, and let's get moving together. So for us, movement is medicine, and it's very much have a quick scan check of yourself mentally and physically before you get into this class with us. And however you're feeling, I want you to take that from the class today. There's no prescriptive way that we like people to take a class. They take what they need from it at any point in time. So if you've rested well, slept well, and you're feeling gung-ho, all off you go. And if you haven't and you just want to move your body, or you just want a bit of headspace, or you just need to be gentle with yourself, like whatever it is that you need, if you're focused on that at the top of the class, you can go ahead and take that from it when you join.
Yeah. It sounds really amazing. I actually want to backtrack a little bit to the point in time where you left your prior position to go into a startup, because I know what that's about.
Yeah. Right. For me, it was.
Let's unpack that.
I'd be really interested in your experience as well. But for me, there was fear, but I don't live my life with. I don't live my life thinking I'm a certain age or a certain sex and that is going to be a barrier or that is going to be a restriction for me. I crack on and do what is important to me and what serves my purpose. So I'd gotten to a point with Virgin, which is a wonderful brand, and I had learnt and done a lot, and it was extraordinary. And interestingly enough, the founder of Flow was the man who originally scaled and set up the first Virgin Active Clubs in Australia and then went on to work on them overseas as well. He had left the business about a year before I had joined the business, so we didn't know each other at that time. But I had kind of been there about 5 years, and I was ready to make a shift and a move. And I leapt off the bus without knowing what I was leaping into. I had nothing in the pipeline, and there was fear around it, but there wasn't, that wasn't a barrier for me, because I just knew that it was time to move, time for a fresh change. So I'm like, you jump and you will land somewhere. So you just don't let those things be a barrier.
Okay. So I'm thinking from the listener's perspective now, I have questions. So when you say that you just knew that it was time to go, like, what kind of signs are there that indicate that it's time to move to your next opportunity or make something new happen for you? Are you getting bored, or is there different interests that you've got? Or what kind of things lined up that made you go, yep, I can go now?
For me, doing the WEFA, which you talked about before, the WEFA kind of drill down into personal and professional purpose, was quite a defining time for me. My purpose didn't really change, but I just needed to tweak it a bit. And what I'd realized was that I'd lost the magic, and I need to have magic in my everyday. I was definitely opening new clubs and doing new things and feeling like I was at the right place in the right time. But when I ceased to learn and I ceased to grow, that's when I know I need to move. And very typically for me, I've only made a few big jumps out of industries. I always jump when I'm at the pinnacle of where I am. I never jump when I've crashed and burned.
We are literally the same.
I literally hit my peak and go, right, this is as much as can be done.
Time to go.
Now I feel so happy with my work. It's time to move along now.
Yeah.
And I just don't let fear stand in my way, because there's no point if you've lost the joy or you've lost the magic. You just can't stay, because you're not going to be serving yourself and you're not going to be serving other people. So I just knew I had to find the magic back. I got a little bit buried in a very large role, Group X managing 3 brand new clubs for Virgin and rolling out a new business model. And I just got lost in the detail, lost in the logistics, without being able to find the joy every day that is why I do what I do. So I needed to find that again. And that was why I knew I needed to make my move, because I think we owe it to ourselves not to stay in something that isn't making us entirely happy or that isn't serving us at some point in time. You need to know when it's time to move.
Yeah. No, that's really, I think that's a lot of impact for people that are listening. It's if you're feeling this way, like you're getting stuck in the day to day and you forget the reason that you started that job or that career or that business, then maybe just step away, right? Step away, have some time to think about it, write down a few ideas, maybe talk to a business mentor, find a course like we were lucky enough to find at the time. So very similar to you, I you know, was part of a co-founding team setting up Fire in Malaysia, which is now in Australia. And you know, in that lockdown period when you can't be front facing with what you love, which is being in front of people and watching them experience the joy of movement, then that was actually a really good time to step away and revisit the purpose of what we do, right? So yeah, it was a good life-changing situation. Obviously, I ended up in a totally different country. Back in New Zealand after 20 years with no idea what was going to happen, but no fear either. And I think that's a really cool place to be in. And
I think it's conscious as well, those choices, Tracy, like yours and mine both were. And my daughter has recently graduated from uni and found herself in a role, and she was, talking about full-time work for the first time. And she said, "Oh, Mum, not everyone loves their work like you." And I thought, well, you don't just get to love your work. You've got to spend some time nutting out. Like, I spent 2 weeks away in a cabin by the lake with my dog before I made the move. I'm like, I need to think, what have I got? Are there things I can change here to satisfy myself? Or is it time to move? And I did a lot of thinking and a lot of mind work and a lot of talking to close people to me that I respected their opinions, and who knew me. And it is a conscious choice to define yourself and what you need and what your purpose is, and then find the right role for yourself and kind of curate that, and also make sure that you're stepping into a culture that embraces you and that you enjoy and you feel comfortable in, and most particularly that you can be authentic in. If you can't be authentic where you're working, it's always going to feel like work. It's going to feel like struggle.
I remember when you went away for that 2 weeks. Yeah, that came straight back to me, and because you just came back and you said, "Oh, look, I've been offline for the last couple of weeks." So yeah, those moments, say, when you do just draw back and you really go deep inside yourself, and sometimes it can take more than a couple of days to really for that stuff to bubble up. I just want to touch on something that I think is probably common in the fitness industry, but maybe you and I are not so hung up on it. But there is a certain amount of ageism that goes in the fitness industry for women of our age, because the industry is fairly young. It's youthified. It targets mostly towards the younger generations, Gen Z, millennials. If you aren't a fan of shopping, but you're okay with online shopping and you like to look into recommendations from trusted sources, then check out my shopping lists that I host on Bennable. Bennable is an online store that lets you save items that you use and you can recommend to others all in one space. I've got shopping lists for menopause products, tools and resources that I use to build my business, healthy foods I love to eat, and travel recommendations. Setting up your own online store is by invite only. So I've added my invite code in the show notes. It's a bit addictive and heaps of fun. Did I forget to mention that it's also a great way to share your affiliate links so that when a shopper buys from your store, you get a cut of the sale, all because you recommended it. So check out Bennable. It can be quite confronting to stay relevant in the industry, but like you've already touched on a few things that I think are important, which is to find the thing that you really love, that it's purposeful, that you're authentic to. And then you don't really think about the fact that, oh, they're 10 years or 15 years younger than me, because you are living and breathing it and making change happen. This group of younger people come with you and are just feeding off your energy, your creativity, and the fact that you can make really quick, smart decisions. And I think that's one of the things I really enjoy about still being in this space, is that people do look to you for that leadership. Do you find the same thing?
Yeah, and I think you could so easily get hung up on age. It's a very, very youthful industry for reasons that we all understand. If you're going to be leaping around exerting energy, you have a lot more of that when you're younger. But what you have when you're older is a lot more wisdom, and having lived a lot more life. So you're able to, like, for me, leading well is probably the most important thing to me. It's very important to me that I lead well and people respect me for my leadership. And that involves staying really current with millennials and Gen Zs, which are commonly 100% of the people that are in my teams. And you could so easily get hung up on your age, on how you look, but I just don't let that stuff enter my brain too often. And when it does, I just push it out. Like, age is just a number. And I just don't let that or my sex define me at all. I'm just like, I'm following my dream, I'm being passionate, I'm bringing a bag of skills. I endeavor to be authentic and transparent and honest and to lead well. And I think it becomes just less important what sex you are and what age you are if you're doing your job in an exemplary way and people are learning from you. And can also, there's a thing, if people still have a barrow to push, and I found this in film school, that people had stepped into, say, producing or directing lecturing roles, if they hadn't achieved their goals and they still had a barrow to push, they were not great teachers.
Yeah.
But if they'd successfully rolled out whatever they want to do in their career, they're now ready to share their skills with others in a less competitive way. So you've got to be ready to just give everything and not compete with your own staff. Like, I'm still teaching 10 classes a week, but I don't compete with them. I try to lift and elevate and share and teach. And they value that because I've been around a little bit longer than they have. I have some skills and knowledge that they might not have been given. There's a, as you know, huge amount of people who can no longer freestyle teach. They can only teach Pilates or yoga or body pump. So having some freestyle skills and teaching people those kinds of skills, how do you put your own playlist together and how do you actually put a class plan together? A lot of people are not learning that in a Cert 3-4 anymore. So there's much that can be taught and much that just isn't taught, as in the things you learn about how to truly engage and connect, about how to truly be authentic. You just learn that by living it. So you have a lot to offer. So I just try not to let that stuff get in my way, because you truly can. You could truly think, God, I'm the oldest person in this club and always have been, and just like psych yourself out. Or you can just not go there. You can just go, this is what I love and I know that I'm doing it well, and I'll just continue to move forward passionately until the point that I'm no longer doing a role that is valuable or in a way that is valuable to other people. And you'll know that yourself. So I just crack on.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, look, I wish that I could say that I had all the same experience of you, you know, psychologically, but I actually went through some perimenopause symptoms that did impact on my sense of confidence and self-esteem, anxiety, imposter syndrome. Like, I had it all. But that was well before I knew what it was all about. So I feel like now that I've talked enough about it, it's better that people understand that these things can happen and it's linked to perimenopause symptoms, and it's not you suddenly losing your ability to do your job well. I think it's like just going, okay, this is actually a part of it, so what can we do? Yeah, so that's been part of my mission and purpose, is to help women understand, look, you are still valuable. You have essence to bring, you have skills and life skills, wisdom that you mentioned, is just, we just can't afford to lose people with that, you know, because that's how the leaders of the future come through, is by learning from, you know, women like us.
And I think too, someone said to me when I was a new mum and running a film company and doing all the things, and I never tried to be a super mum, that was never what my ambition was, but they said to me, you can't do everything all the time all at once. And it's entirely true. You can do everything in your life that you want to do, but you can't do it all at once. So this might be your time for mothering. And then by the same token, it's important, like, I don't teach Les Mills now, whereas I used to teach 6 programs before, but I need to know now, my knees are done with that. I am now solely Pilates and to some extent bar and personal training, but you need to just go, okay, what can I still do really well? And am I still at the peak of, if I put my bar against someone 30 years younger, am I still, you know, delivering in the way that they would deliver? And if you're not, then step away. Like, me stepping back from step, which was my first love, body step, absolutely my first love, was really, really hard. But if you can't do it in the role model way that you need to do it, step back, find something new to embrace. And that was when I went and retrained in Pilates and retrained in bar. So I think being honest with yourself as well, and you don't need to be perfect, but you do need to be able to be a good role model for whatever it is you're teaching. And if you ask your staff to do something, then you must be able to do it as well. So I won't ask people to hold a certain standard if I can't hold that certain standard myself. So that would be the time that I would step back, and you sort of just continually reinvent yourself. But you have to listen to your body. You can't smash it. You have to know you can't do 30 classes a week anymore, and you have to know you're not doing you know, 15 high impact or four classes a day anymore. Just reinvent. It's uncomfortable, but you have to accept that. And you have to just, like, I'm endlessly grateful for my health. I have some quite serious illness in both sides of my extended family right now. And I can't tell you how grateful I am to every day be able to move in a way that allows me to do all the things I want to do. And I just constantly advocate to people, like, some things genetics and just what life throws at you, you can't control, but what you can control, take care of it. Take care of your sleep, your body, your nutrition, your movement, your mental health. Like, look after your whole self. You only get one life. And it will be so much more pleasurable to live if you just embrace that self-acceptance of, okay, this is what I have, and this is how I'm going to make the most of what I have, and get really comfortable with that.
Yeah, no, right with you on that one. It's like, for me, the foundation is sleep and everything else is amazing from there, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Wasn't always the case though, you know, burning the midnight oil and working at both ends of the day. And anyway, life has changed and it's so much better. Hey, your bucket list. I think I put that down as one of your questions. Like, what else is there out there that you're really keen to grab by the horns and go for it?
I don't necessarily have a bucket list, but I do have resolutions. Like, I will always make three personal and three professional resolutions. But I think for me, writing a book is up there. Definitely up there. Writing is probably, and words are probably something that's like breathing for me. Like, whether I've been verbally using words or in writing using words for my presenting, for everything that I do, I've always used words to achieve things. So at some point I would love to write a book. And I just have to, find the right thing to write. But I think I would like it to be fictional, not non-fiction. I think there's 1,000 non-fiction books I could write, but I'm not that keen on that. So at some point I'd love to do that. For me, leading well is always on my bucket list. It's just something I want to continually do well. And if I don't think I can continue to do it well, I would definitely step back at the pinnacle of it. As you have, you know, with times in your life, you step off when you're doing something really well, not when you've allowed that to deteriorate. Moving closer to the water. I'm New Zealand born, as you know, and then grew up a lot of my life in Tasmania. I've always pretty much lived on an island, and water is really important for my mental health. So right now I do have my house on the market, and I am in the process of trying to move myself closer to the water, because for me, whenever I need nourishment or nurturing, I go to the water. Some people go into the bush or into the forest or into the snow. I go to the water. I need to kind of have that for perspective. And that's become increasingly important for me as time goes on. So that is a definite immediate bucket list item. Other than that, I want to continue to expand the global reach of Flow as a very high quality live product, so that everyone that wants to move, whether they're at home, at work, wherever they are, can move, but also that we really... we have started to shift the conversation from you've got to be fit and ripped and skinny to the conversation of you have a body that can move and everybody can move, and movement is your medicine for quality of life. We're shifting that conversation, but we need to fully shift it over. We need to just let everyone know that there is no barrier to them moving their body, regardless of what is going on for them. We need to stop judging. We need to stop comparing. We need to stop using certain words. Or promoting things in, or naming things in certain ways. Movement is for everybody. Everyone can do it. We need to be putting it out there in ways that everyone can access it without barriers. And that's a big kind of mission behind Flow, is to break down those barriers that people have. I have two kids. I can't get there. Well, you can do it at home. Your kids can be with you.
Yeah.
You know, your husband can do half an hour class while you do the kids' breakfast. You can swap. And some people do that, or they have their kids or they have their dogs. You can't really do that in an in-person gym, and you perhaps just won't motivate yourself enough to do it yourself, or if you do a recorded class. So it's important for us to just make it accessible.
Yeah. And I believe you have. So I'm listening to you. I'm so freaking pumped right now. Must be time for a Pilates workout, do you think? It's like lunchtime. Just 30 minutes, put your mat down, connect the instructor says, "Hey," and calls out your name. It's brilliant. Hey, look, it was so good to catch up with you. And
My
I, yeah,
pleasure.
I feel really elevated. And I know that I've got a sister just across the ditch that, you know, we're both looking out for each other and inspiring one another to keep going, you know, keep
Yeah,
doing
I
what you're
think
doing.
that sisterhood is so important, and everyone just lifting each other up. Lindsay, behind the WIFRA organisation, always says, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, and it's just absolutely so true.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Trace.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. I'd love to hear what you thought, so feel free to answer in the questions in Spotify or give your feedback in Apple Podcasts, and follow the podcast so you'll receive notifications for new episodes. And stay sexy.